You're listening to New Hampshire Calling. This is a new live call-in show from NHPR that's all about this moment. We want to hear from you. How are you coping with life in a time of coronavirus? I'm Jack Rodolico, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like this situation. I'm worried about this disease. I am feeling socially distant. It's been a tough couple of weeks for all of us. But there is joy. It's out there in moments. And that's what our first show tonight is all about. Where is your joy right now? Signs of spring? Trashy TV shows? Call us and let us know. 603-513-7700. That's 603-513-7700. We need a little hope, so let's find it together on New Hampshire Calling. But first, this news.
My name is Ashley. I work in Merrimack as a child care provider, and this past week has been a very drastic, crazy week. Every single day came with a new challenge.
For me, it's easier because I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I never thought like I'd be a teacher and a mom.
This idea of a new normal is the idea that I most personally reject.
Felix, what is coronavirus?
So they're little things that look like crowns. And they come and take over your lungs.
So I think people with disabilities, like me, we are in a difficult situation because we have to depend on people like caregivers for things that other people take for granted.
This is New Hampshire Calling. I'm Jack Rodolico, live in Concord, and you are listening to a first. This is our first show, and here's what we want to do. Coronavirus has turned all of our lives upside down and fast, and we want this show to be a catharsis. We want to make a place where we can check in with each other, keep each other afloat, help each other navigate this unprecedented crisis. And today, we want to know, where are you finding joy right now? Is it music, family, junk food? Doesn't matter. Call us. It'll make everyone listening feel a little bit better to hear from you. Our number is 603-513-7700. That's 603-513-7700. I mean, this moment is disorienting. It's scary, intimidating. Are you cracking apart? Are you coping? If you're like me, it's probably both. I have moments when I can stop and simply appreciate that the people I love are safe. No coronavirus in my house, but that house, I am stuck in it. I now work in my bedroom. My son doesn't go to school anymore. My wife of 10 years is there too, homeschooling our son. We all have moments when we squeeze each other tight and overflow with gratitude, and we have moments when we just need space. So that's how I'm doing. How are you? This is a conversation between all of us, our neighbors and friends across New Hampshire. You can call in to share those real moments you are feeling, especially the joy. We need it. New Hampshire Calling is live, and our phone number is 603-513-7700. You can also email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org. That number again, 603-513-7700. Joining me on the line right now is my good friend and super-duper reporter and colleague of mine, Jason Moon. Jason, you there?
I am. How are you, Jack?
I'm okay. I'm okay. It's live radio. I'm pretty good. How are you? Are you at your home?
Yeah, you got me live from my bedroom right now.
How often do you leave your home since this thing started?
Oh my God, not enough.
Not enough is the right answer. That's right.
Not today.
Yeah. Now, when you do leave, I imagine like the number one place you go to is the grocery store. That's pretty much the only place I go anymore.
Yeah, well, it's either like a walk or grocery store. Yeah, that's pretty much it at this point.
Yeah. You know, the grocery store is like, I'm finding it disorienting because, you know, there's no toilet paper and there's no eggs. And so you can have these little moments of panic. But then, you know, there's meat, there's cheese, there's vegetables. I mean, like, how are you navigating these things that used to be normal? Like, is it an emotional roller coaster for you?
It. I was at the grocery store just last night, actually, and I had that same exact experience where the toilet paper aisle looks like I don't know.
Right.
What
the apocalypse
like
came,
nothing
right?
Was ever there. Yeah. Yeah. But the candy aisle is just fine. And what do you make of that?
I know.
You know, just on that, like the highs and lows of the experience, like I have to say, like going to the grocery store at this point is like one of the most stressful things I do, because it just feels like that is, and probably is, like the most risky time for me in terms of potentially catching the virus, right? So I'm like, before I go, I'm like getting like suited, you know, I bring my wipes, I bring my my hand sanitizer and my jacket, and then I'm like trying to keep a log of like everything I touch and at all costs avoid touching my face, you know?
Yeah.
And look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not proud of this. I was in a grocery store last night, and miraculously it was pretty dead. I guess I went at the right time, but there was a moment where these two people coming down the same aisle as me, we were in the cereal aisle, and they were going to like pass right by me, and Jack, I held my breath.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. As you say that, I realize I've been doing the same thing. Those moments where like I accidentally brush against somebody and it just makes you paranoid. I can't relay how dirty my hands feel when I leave the grocery store. Like just it's probably all in my mind, but I feel like I'm walking around contaminated, you know. It's just this constant stream of news is in front of us all the time. Everyone is doing their due diligence to be safe, to keep their community members safe. You know, we hear a lot about people whose health is more vulnerable and how we want to keep them safe. And, you know, I think most of us are taking it pretty seriously. And that's a huge weight to have on your shoulders at Market Basket.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's profound. It's like, you know, if I touch a doorknob tomorrow and then like 10 days later, does someone, you know, get the virus because of that and God forbid die? You know, that's a heavy, heavy thing to be thinking about.
Yeah, it really is. Well, we've got some callers lined up here, Jason. So let's go to Ben in Sutton. Are you there, Ben?
Hello. Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing all right. How are you doing, Ben?
Doing pretty good. I was just listening in on you guys here, and yeah, I mean, I've come across a lot of those same things in everyday life here in Sutton on the farm, my family's farm.
And, you work and live on your family's farm?
I sure do. I'll just say I'm a 30-something, early 30-something right now, but it's a family operation.
Okay.
And right now I'm boiling some maple syrup to kind of get through the evening here. We still have a lot on our hands, but, you know, just preparing for this summer, and we grow vegetables as well, and all the news with the farmers markets and congregations like that, it's kind of grim, I'd have to say.
But right now you are literally making maple syrup? You're boiling down sap at this moment?
I sure am. I have a really small system here, but also collect for a few other guys, neighbors that boil for me, but mostly we're a summertime vegetable, herb, flower farm. So our season's just about to get going here.
Yeah, and making all that maple syrup. I mean, you know, that's a lot of joy you're going to bring to a lot of people. Ben, thanks so much for calling. It's really good to hear from you, and thanks for sharing a little bit of your joy. How about let's go to Elise in Nashua. Are you there, Elise? Hello, Elise?
How are you? I just wanted to share that I'm a social services worker during my 9-to-5, but I'm also a music educator and a musician, and I heard about this wonderful initiative called Play on the Porch.
Okay.
Hashtag Play on the Porch.
Hashtag Play on the Porch. Okay, and where will that take us if we go there?
Yeah, the idea, it's just basically an idea that musicians go out on their front porch or their back porch, anywhere in their neighborhood, and as long as they keep that distance, that 6-foot distance from their neighbors, you know, play a tune. You know, if someone's walking by with their dog or whatever, it'll strike up a conversation. It just brings a little bit of humanity.
So you're sitting out. You're sitting
into
out
our
on the. Yeah.
You know?
So just to clarify, so you're sitting out on the porch, just playing music as an open concert to anybody who walks by.
Well, in my case, I've got a digital piano in my living room, but it's right next to a bunch of open windows, and so it is definitely audible from my street, which is in downtown Nashua. So, and so that's the idea: is that musicians, just play on the porch, and you know, if that means that a neighbor of yours just gets like 5 seconds of respite from thinking about what germs they're dealing with or, you know, what they left on a doorknob. I mean, it's that kind of culture and that that's what we're all kind of hoping to get back to.
Yeah.
And I normally accompany singers at a thing called piano karaoke here in Nashua and at parties and things like that. And all that stuff has been canceled.
Yeah. And all those gatherings. Yeah.
This is a way to still have some live music, which is largely just, you know, come to a grinding halt. So,
right.
It's a great initiative, and the hashtag is out there. So if you search for it on Twitter, you're going to see just a wealth of amazing musicians just doing their thing and uplifting their immediate neighborhood.
That's great. I love that. And so, the idea is if you are a musician, you know, get outside, play a little music for whoever's walking by. That's really great. Thank you so much, Elise, for calling, and have a good night, okay?
Thank you.
Please, Jason.
I had an accidental version of this just last night. I was walking down the street in Concord at night, and I heard someone practicing their violin from their living room, and I just stopped on the street and listened to it for a few minutes. It was beautiful.
That's awesome.
It took me out of that moment. And you know what? Can I also say about Ben, our farmer who called in?
Yeah,
Love the fact that planting things and anticipating the summer season. What's so beautiful about that is that it anticipates a moment when this is over.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know that I've been doing that.
It's hard to do. I mean, I've been doing that. We've been trying to do that with our son, who's three, going outside and finding green things because they're there. And it is a feeling of, spring is coming. Things always change. Things always pass. I'm really glad if this had to happen, I'm glad it's happening in spring and not the beginning of winter, when it was already going to feel pretty dark. So when we knew we were going to be doing a show about joy tonight, there was a few people in particular that we wanted to hear from. Deo Moweno is one of them in Manchester. Deo, are you on the line?
How you doing?
Hey, Deo. It's good to hear your voice. Last time I saw you was at Carter Hill Orchard. We were both there with our families and our kids. They were playing in the sand. And how are things going now? I want to just tell people that you're a bit of a Renaissance man. How would you describe yourself?
Man, I would probably say, I'm a creator, right? Like
yeah.
A lot of my creation is based on human connection. So it looks different, right? It could be music. It could be dance. It could be a presentation. So it's really more about how do you help people kind of connect with different people's story, with different people's experiences. So
right.
I guess that's how I would describe myself.
Okay, great. And so where's the joy for you right now? Well, I mean, you've got three kids. How's it going?
Yeah, it's been it's been a little bit challenging to a certain extent.
Yeah,
for sure. Two of my kids are both, one is a first grader and one is in kindergarten, and they're full time in school. So having them home and then in dealing with the confinement, there's definitely a lot of moving parts. But I do have to give credit to my wife. I mean, she's been doing an amazing job.
Amen
of
to that.
Keeping them active, doing projects, keeping up with all the e-learning stuff that's happening. I think so far, I would say based on my perspective, like they seem to be still all cheered up. They're ready to go. on my end, I'm like, oh man. One of the things that we discovered the other day is I decided to set up a little kind of a workout area. So I have a yoga ball. Oh,
yeah.
This yoga ball is the most amazing thing for them.
Like, keeping the family together right now.
They all just want to get on top of it, and so Yeah. So yoga ball. That's how we're surviving right now.
That's awesome, man. And you know, not to speed along too much, but you I dropped in last night on a Zoom dance class that you were teaching. You are an extraordinary dancer. I'm talking like, you know, I don't know how you'd describe yourself, but I would say that you could be in a Michael Jackson video. I've seen your dances online a lot. You should check out Dea Moreno online. But you were doing a Zoom class, and like people are using Zoom for all kinds of things, and you had young people, old people in there. You know, talk about trying to connect with people with dance in this moment when we can't be in rooms together.
Yeah, it's very fascinating. You know, I've used Zoom in a professional setting for a very long time. I've worked with different remote communities, but I've never used Zoom for dance classes, and I've been teaching dance since I was 15 years old. So once the outbreak happened and the confinement happened, I was like, right away in my heart, like, I want to do something that's going to help people connect. What if we did a dance class virtually? And I just went on Facebook, posted it. A lot of people showed interest, and then I said, hey, if you're interested, send me your email address. So we arranged the first Zoom class yesterday. I had about, you know, 7 to 8 people show up. One of the group was a family of four, and it was really cool. Mom and dad, daughter, son, and then other folks just joining virtually by themselves, and they were, you know, some students were in the living room with their family members watching, and it was such an organic feeling. You know, the first couple of minutes definitely felt a little weird for me because I'm so used to having people with me, right? And then once I saw them, like, through the screen engaging right away, like a couple of minutes in, my brain just switched. Like, I was just felt like I was there with them. And it was a very, very awesome experience.
Yeah, and that's funny about this whole, like, you know, we're using Zoom a lot and all these online tools. And it's like, it feels awkward at first. And then you're just getting used to the idea that you're just talking to people that you already know or connecting with people. Deo, we're running up against a break here. And I want to ask you before we have to let you go, can you name a song that has been getting you through lately?
I would definitely say an artist named Martin Toe. He's actually local. The song is called Waka. Waka is actually a Swahili word, which means light and awake. So I've been listening to that song like all the time. And that's actually the song we played yesterday for the class I taught.
All right, man. Well, on our way out, it's good to talk to you. And on our way out to this break, we'll play a little bit of it for people, okay? Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is New Hampshire Calling, a new live pop-up show from NHPR. I'm Jack Rodolico. Where are you finding joy in this crisis? Call us 603-513-7700. We'll be right back. You had once again, living this life in a way that I've changed. Open my mind to the ones that I love. I'm Jack Rodolico, and this is New Hampshire Calling, a brand new live pop-up show from NHPR that's all about how we help each other navigate daily life in this time of a pandemic. Tonight, we're talking about how to find joy amid the chaos. There's a million ways to do it, and we want to know how you are doing it. Where are you finding comfort? Is it an album, that old LP you haven't listened to in a long time? Is it a new recipe, an old recipe? Have you been connecting with an old friend that you haven't talked to in years? Call us at 603-513-7700. My friend and colleague Jason Moon is on the line. Jason, you're still there, right?
Oh,
we got some joy. People are calling in with their joy. I think we're grateful for that, right?
Love it.
Anything in particular standing out to you so far?
Oh man, I just love that people are out there. I mean, one of the things that's hard about, you know, working from my bedroom for the past, you know, 3 or 4 weeks now, even though it feels like it's been 6 months, is just that I don't see very many people anymore.
Just that people are out there. It's like, yeah, just hearing voices of new people. It feels good, right?
It does feel good. I mean, that's why I like being a reporter in the first place. So it's kind of hard not to be out there, you know, with a microphone interviewing people. I'm basically doing all my reporting on the phone these days, which is, you know, it can be a little difficult. And so,
yeah, that's good. It's good. All right, let's go to somebody else. So we've got Meg in, I actually can't see the, I can't read the name of this town on the printer, on the screen in front of you. Meg, are you there?
I am, yes.
Where are you?
We're in Llandaff.
Llandaff. Oh, how are you? So good to talk to you. So what's going on? How are you feeling?
We're doing okay. I have two boys. They're in sixth grade and third grade. So this week we've been.
Is that one of them?
Yeah. we've been transitioning to, you know, online learning and all that. But one of the best things that happened this week was my third grader, Hank, had the idea that his aunts that are in Massachusetts and Florida and my parents that are even down the street and my sister that's on the other side of town, who we haven't seen in 2 weeks, that we all make the same meal and then go on Zoom and all eat it at the same time.
Oh, you all actually cook the same food at home with the same recipe?
Yeah, well, not the same recipe, but we all pretty much had macaroni and cheese and versions of that last night.
Oh, who's on the call? This is extended family?
Yeah, it was my parents. They live down the street. They have a farm down the street. My sister and her two kids and husband that are on the other side of our very little town. But then also my aunt and uncle in Massachusetts, a cousin and her son in West Virginia, and another aunt in Florida.
Yeah,
it was pretty chaotic, but then we realized that, you know, family dinners always are. So.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what they're supposed to be. My sister had a similar idea that we're going to all get all of our kids and my parents on a line together and watch a movie.
Oh,
we just have to pick a movie
that
kids from the ages of 3 to 16 are going to like, but hopefully that'll be the easy part.
Yeah.
Princess Bride, Jack. I'm just going to go ahead and recommend that right now.
The Princess Bride. Yes, that's great. Okay, the rodents of unusual size might be a little scary to a three-year-old, but he gets what a puppet is. It'll be okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling in, and good luck to you, okay?
Yeah, thanks for doing this. It's been nice to hear uplifting things on the news.
I'm so glad. Let's go to Ellen in Concord. Are you there, Ellen?
I am. Thanks for taking my call.
First
of all, the thing that gives me joy every day is, of course, NHPR. You guys just keep me company.
We planted you out there. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for calling. It's so nice of you.
Oh, well, I'm in quarantine, and the thing that's been, well, several things, but the biggest thing is because I do teach at three different schools. I'm a vocal coach and voice instructor and singer myself, and my life revolves around music and all my students and of course and my family who's located in Vermont. I've got to put that in, but not to be able to see people in quarantine because I do apparently have a mild case of you know what.
Oh, you do. Wow.
Yeah, I was in the ER over the weekend, and so
oh my goodness.
You know, it's a little scary and I'm not supposed to have contact. So having all these people neighbors that I never knew would have thought to shovel my car yesterday.
Oh, that's just, nice.
I'm just feeling so grateful. And for everyone who's dropped things off at the door or people who come out of the woodwork to whom I usually don't speak to sometimes in larger schools, they've emailed me. So I'm just so grateful for that connection and contact. And the other thing that brings me so much joy FB is I just love to see all the beautiful face masks that people are creating. And I love that my fellow colleagues, not to put a plug at the music school in Concord, but I just love how they're doing posting of little violin vignettes or ensembles here and there because we're all just trying to get through. And music is soothing. And just seeing everyone's creativity. Necessity is the mother of invention, and boy, has it been fantastic!
That
for
is great.
All of us.
That is great.
So thank you very much.
I'm so happy to hear from you, and please feel better soon. Everyone who's listening, I'm sure, is hoping that you feel better soon. Okay.
Thanks. I'm going to cough when I hang up.
Okay. Do what you got to do.
Well, and watch those cereal aisles, Jason Moon.
Watch those cereal aisles, Jason Moon.
I will.
Hold your breath, Jason.
I won't have to go back for a while. I got quite a bit of granola, so I can be set.
Yeah, we stocked up on granola, and then I ate it all. Okay, so we've got another call out here to someone named Sarah Chazinski in Lineboro. Sarah, are you there?
Hi, yeah, I'm here.
Oh, can we hear? I'm getting a little feedback on my mic here. Can you guys hear that? This is live radio, folks. This is how this works. It's the first time on the show, brand new show. There it is. That sounds better. Okay, Sarah, are you there?
Here.
Did I botch the name of your town or your last name?
No, not at all.
Oh, great. Okay, Sarah, we wanted to talk to you because you have some serious joy in your house right now. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, actually, he's in my lap right now sleeping on me. I have an eight-day-old baby boy.
Oh, man, 8 days old. That is the best. What's his name?
His name is Sebastian.
Oh, man. Is this your first?
No, it's our third.
Your third. Oh, man. So how old are the other ones, and are they having fun so far?
The eldest is almost 8, and the middle is almost 3. And, you know, I think part of the joy of this time is all being together.
Yeah.
You know, girls get to have so much time, much more time than expected with their
That's right. Brother. Yeah, of course, because, I mean, you know, I've got one, and, you know, when they're little, that time goes so fast, and you just want every minute with them. And now the big kids, it was a boy and a girl, the older ones?
Nope, two girls.
Two girls, I'm sorry.
Yep, so they're very excited to have a little brother.
Oh, man, so they're just home with him all the time.
Yep.
That's so cool. And so how's it going with trying to stay connected with family? Because one of the things that happens when you have a little baby is everybody wants to come. Everybody wants to be helpful. How are you staving that off right now?
Yeah, so, you know, this little boy is pretty special. We had him on my grandmother's 91st birthday.
Oh, man. Wow.
And so we were in the hospital, and they're not allowing any visitors or anything like that, which is great. That's what they should be doing. And so, you know, right after we had him, we were able to video chat with my grandmother and wish her a happy birthday with this birthday present.
That's awesome.
And she's, you know, tech savvy enough that she does that, which is amazing. And then we did the same thing and video chatted with the girls to introduce them to their brother before we could get home the next day. But yeah, I think, you know, at this point, my gratitude for technology is huge.
Right.
We've been able to keep in touch by video chatting, posting daily pictures for all the people we love to share him as much as we can. You know, and it is hard. It is hard to not have our family gathering around us physically. However, you know, we're in our warm, comfortable house. We have our children with us.
Yeah.
We have enough food.
And nothing makes you feel more grateful than a healthy baby.
Exactly.
You know, what else can you ask for?
Nothing.
Sarah, stay on the line because we actually have somebody else. Maureen from Somersworth, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Maureen, you are 6 months pregnant.
I am.
How cool. Sarah, you can hear Maureen, right, and vice versa?
I sure can. Congratulations.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah. So, Maureen, how are you feeling in this moment, you know, knowing that you're going to have a baby in 3 months in this sort of crazy, uncertain world?
Yeah. So a couple layers in that. I actually work at a hospital, but I work in IT, so I'm fortunate enough I can work from home.
Okay.
But I get all the updates, you know, as things come in and things change and that kind of thing. So that's always fun, but I feel like I have the first line of defense as far as knowledge and visiting rules and all that stuff that's happening. This is our first and the first of grandchildren for my entire family and my husband's family. So
oh, that's really special.
Yeah, so I'm trying to, you know, it can be really anxiety-provoking. I've been listening to, you know, podcasts, and while I have Jason on the phone, I just want to say Bear Book was awesome.
Oh.
And just kind of distracting myself and fangirling for a second, I just want to mention that even though you feel kind of isolated, your voice is definitely being heard by people. So, it's kind of scary, but at the same time, trying to be positive and knowing, you know, trusting the people that go to medical school that decide, you know, this is the best course of action for you, for your baby, for your family is kind of what I'm leaning on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you all the best. Three more months to go. And,
yep.
You know, Sarah, any words of wisdom as a mom of three?
Oh, just keep enjoying this sweet time before you welcome your new being and, you know, trust the process and trust our medical community that's really doing a great job in terms
of
paying attention to what they're doing. And you know it because you're in it. And,
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to you both for calling. Enjoy those babies. Sarah, stay on the line for a little bit if you could. And thank you so much for calling in, Maureen. Brett in Manchester, are you there? Are you there, Brett?
Hello?
Yeah, hey, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm actually in the frozen aisle of Walmart right now.
Don't touch anybody.
Don't worry, I'm practicing my social distancing.
Yep. You're stocking up for your family? Go ahead, sorry,
yeah,
go ahead.
I am. I have five girls at home.
Five girls?
And, yeah.
Five
and
daughters.
So the oldest one, who is in high school at West, she decided to come up with a calendar, and yesterday was movie night. Tonight is craft night. But
okay.
What we have done to help get over all of this is come up with a really, like, and she is a genius. she has come up with, like, a lot of fun things to do. So tonight's craft night. Last night was movie night. But we like to cook together. So tonight I'm here to get some food and then also get some crafts. We're going to get some of the fuzzy pipe cleaners.
Yep. You got to get the pipe cleaners.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You do a lot with those.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to do that.
Wow. And five kids. And just tell me the age range on your kids. Highest to lowest.
School,
you know,
preschool to high school.
Preschool to high school. So you've got the full spectrum in one house at one time. You're going to need a lot of pipe cleaners and stock up on frozen peas.
One
more thing.
Five,
yeah, go for it.
One is five and the oldest is 16.
Wow. That 10 years, that's my family. We were four kids, 10 years. That's pretty similar. Five girls. Hey, well, stay well, Brett. Take care of those kids. Stock up on pipe cleaners.
So come up with a calendar and come up with plans.
This is the advice.
For every day. You know, like.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
That's what she's done.
Yeah, you need the plan every day, Brett, thank you so much for that call. We have a plan in our house every day, and sometimes we are able to do it. With older kids, it's probably a little easier. My son's three, but I give my wife all the credit for that. So, Sarah, before we let you go, we're coming up against another break. Can you share with us the song, if you have one, that has been getting you through?
Oh, sure. We've had Bob Marley playlist going all day every day at this point. And, you know, I think one of the things that is so wonderful about him is just that there's a positive message through all difficult times and whatever we're facing. And so probably High Tide, Low Tide is really rocking me through.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. High Tide, Low Tide by Bob Marley. Okay, so we're going to rock you out to that. Kiss that baby for all of us. Just enjoy your time at home with the kids. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
I'm Jack Rodolico. This is New Hampshire Calling. We are live and want to hear from you next. Where are you finding joy in the midst of this corona crisis? Call us 603-513-7700 or email nhcalling@nhpr.org. And the number again is 603-513-7700. I'm Jack Rodolico, and this is New Hampshire Calling. We are live and want to hear from you next. Where are you finding joy in this craziest of moments in history with this incredible crisis and all of this social distancing and isolation? Our number is 603-513-7700. We want to know where you're finding joy. You can email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org, and the number again is 603-513-7700. Tomorrow night on New Hampshire Calling, our theme will be family dynamics. I know that is a complicated one. This is a tough time for every family member. Some people in your family you are seeing a lot of, others you are not seeing at all. And how is it playing out in your family? Are you freaked out because your baby boomer mom won't stop going to Costco? Are you tired of your adult kids telling you to wash your hands? And what are you doing with that 8-year-old all day? That'll be tomorrow night on New Hampshire Calling. Jason, you're still there? Jason Moon, health reporter?
Here. Can I tell you, Jack, what I was thinking through that whole break?
Yeah.
While we were away, Brett, who called in while he was shopping for frozen veggies at Walmart.
Yeah.
It means he's listening to NHPR while he's doing his grocery shopping.
That's true. I didn't even think about it.
It's never occurred to me to do that.
Yeah, yeah. That's dedication.
I'm gonna take a cue from him, and also just like if that guy is not a sustaining member.
I was just gonna say this. You stole my line. You stole good one. Yeah. Oh man, that's awesome. Okay, cool. So let's go to. Let's see. There's a lot of people on the phone. Just a reminder, the phone number is 603-513-7700. Let's go to Corey in Warner. Are you there, Corey?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, you're a delivery driver?
I am.
All right. How's life as a delivery driver during this whole thing?
A lot of hand sanitizer and wiping down stuff. But,
I'll bet.
Oh, no, pretty good.
Good, good. And so where are you finding joy? Is it at work? Is it at home?
Both. I mean, I got a whole bunch of baby chicks at home, so that's always fun to go
home to. Oh, cool. How many do you have?
I have 8 right now, and then I have a whole bunch of other birds as well. So, but then at work, it's really nice. You know, it's like tripled the amount of people that are out walking, and, you know, instead of just ignoring the driver coming through to drop off boxes, everybody's lifting their heads, smiling and waving, and it's just, it's a breath of fresh air.
Oh, so you're just finding that people are just being nicer?
Absolutely.
Cool.
A little nervous, so they're just happier to wave and smile, or maybe they're just so isolated they need to smile and wave at strangers.
yeah, that's nice to hear. I feel like people maybe experience that a little bit anecdotally, but I think you're a little more scientific because I think you probably see more people out and about in your professional day. So, Corey, thanks so much for calling in. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
We've got Andy in Exeter. Andy, are you there?
I am.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, good. Good, good, good. So where are you finding your joy?
Well, you know, it's a tough time, obviously, for everyone. And, you know, thanks to everybody that's working hard to help others. So I thought I'd give you a funny story.
Yeah, please.
Your parents can relate. But I've got a... my wife and I have an 11, 9, and 7-year-old, so it's school chaos online.
Right.
trying to get the computers all set up, all the bandwidth, trying to find any way to get all three of them for whatever reading class online or whatever. And so the other morning, I was trying to get them all set. Got one on Zoom, one on another app, and then was able to finally get the third one, our 7-year-old, on for their second grade class. And I'm like, okay, great, I can finally go take a shower. And so I'm in the shower, scrubbing my armpits. And all of a sudden,
good
I
detail.
Open my eyes and I turn around, and in walks my 7-year-old, and she's pointing the screen right at me. And immediately I was like, what are you doing? And I looked at her, and she just ran off. But I think the whole entire second grade class might have seen me.
Oh, this was not a photo. This was like a Zoom.
This is like a video.
Oh my God!
Everybody's on the video conference. Anyway,
I never imagined how dangerous. I'm spending so much time on Zoom, and I never fathomed how dangerous it could be.
That's
part of that story. Is that?
Go ahead, Jason.
That's going to be a story for that whole class for years, if not decades.
There's good news behind it, which is that she was actually, even though they were looking at me, she was asking how to make herself be seen. So it hadn't yet turned on. So thank goodness for that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That's great. That's cool. Thanks so much for calling in with that incredible story. Take good care, okay?
Yeah, you bet. Take care.
Okay. Okay, next, we have a call I'm a little suspicious of. Alexa in New York.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi,
how are you? We should. I was not expecting this, and I am delighted to hear your voice. Everyone listening should know that this is my niece. I have, how many nieces do I have? I have 7.
Oh God, a lot.
Yeah, you are the eldest.
Yes.
You just turned 16.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did.
Last week? Yeah, it was last week.
Last week. That's right. That's right. And where, my dear, it's so good to hear you. Where are you finding your joy right now?
I'm finding my joy in, I got my permit on my birthday.
Yes.
And, mom's been, teaching me how to drive and stuff with her car.
And are you driving, on roads with red lights and stuff?
Yeah, I've also been on the highway, too.
You have? You've driven on the
yeah.
highway? Oh,
yeah.
My God, that's terrifying. I love you, but I still think of you as a toddler because I've known you for so long. Go ahead, Jason.
How did you deal with your birthday in a time of corona?
Yeah.
Nobody was really concerned about it because I had my family birthday like 2 days before my actual birthday. So two of my closest friends came over and some family did too. And it was before everybody was really like worried about social distancing and stuff.
Just to make a time.
So it actually went pretty well. And I'm kind of glad that the social distancing kind of happened after my birthday.
Yeah. You got that. You squeaked the sweet 16 in.
I did.
Alexa, I've been thinking a little bit about you too, because you're a bit of a germaphobe.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you been a little paranoid during this whole thing?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I miss my friends a lot.
Yeah, I know. I think that's got to be the hardest thing for you and probably a lot of people your age is just not seeing your friends. I mean, I imagine you just don't see them at all now.
I saw my friend Antonia today.
Yeah.
We went on a bike ride and we rode 6 feet apart from each other.
Okay, good. And did you wear a helmet? Get your priorities straight, Alexa. Alexa, I love you. Thank you for calling on our debut show. And tell mom and dad I said hi.
I will.
And the little ones too.
Yeah, the little one. We're gonna watch a family movie tonight.
Okay, good. Good. Do you know what you're gonna watch?
I think Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, very good choice. Excellent choice. Okay, Alexa, love you. Talk to you soon.
I love you too. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye. Okay, we've got another professional joy giver on the line now. Alan Chong is the curator of the Currie Museum of Art in Manchester. Alan, are you there?
Hi, I am. Hi, how are you?
Good. It's good to hear your voice. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I don't think I'm a professional joy giver. That sounds a little creepy.
Okay, I take it back. I'm sorry. You would know better. How would you describe yourself then?
You know, I'm interested in the role that art plays in people's lives. Art is transformative. It brings joy to people, but it's always mixed with a little bit of sadness. And I was thinking about the music you played earlier, you know, the Bob Marley. Bob Marley is not a happy, happy singer, right? And I think that mixture of happy and sadness, of joy and sorrow, is really important in getting through a crisis, right?
Yeah.
We feel better after a tearjerker movie than we do after, a silly comedy sometimes, because you go through the emotional experience, you go through the pain, and then there's an ending. And I'm just wondering, in this kind of crisis of isolation, and there are people who are suffering, you know, out there in the world, whether we shouldn't use art in that way, think about things.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. You know, we talked a lot about this show tonight, and at first it was joy and sorrow, and because we recognize that it's not like everyone's just having a great time right now. There are people who are really struggling. I mean, people who have lost jobs, people who are sick or afraid of getting sick. And ultimately, we decided, you know, let's just stick with joy. And I'm so glad that you brought up that sort of yin and yang of, you know, how they both come together and how they kind of sharpen each other, right?
Exactly. I mean, whether it's a painting or a beautiful song or a really good book, those things are great, not because they're one-dimensional, not because they're leading you to one point, but because they're taking you on a journey. They're showing you the good and bad, the dark and the brightness, and somehow it all works itself out. And it really is a time to think, and you know, not to be sort of too profound about it, but sometimes being in a crisis or being alone gives you a chance to think about important things.
Yeah. Well, since you're already chatting us up about music here, I want to bring somebody else into the call. Peggy from Dunbarton. She works at the Concord Music School.
Great.
Peggy, are you there?
Yes. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. How are you? You're on the line with me and Jason Moon and Alan Chong from the Currie Museum. Tell us a little bit about where you're finding joy right now.
Well, I love what you just talked about, which is professional joy giver. So we're going to give that a run here.
You're the one. You're the one. Okay.
And Alan, I totally love what you just said. And I'm finding inspiration and joy and peacefulness from, I've had a career in music. And so I have friends from all over the world, actually, who are musicians. One of my piano heroes is Fred Hirsch. wonderful jazz pianist, and he's doing a tune a day, every day, live at 1 o'clock. And today he played my very favorite track of his, which is an arrangement of Joni Mitchell's Both Sides Now. And, you know, it just, as somebody wrote on Facebook, that reset my day. And I thought, yeah. So one of the things that has inspired me is all of, we have a faculty of 50 musicians at the Concord Community Music School, and how much they want to give moment. And so watch our emails, if that's okay to say.
Sure,
We're about to roll out a whole bunch of additions. Draft title right now is kind of silly, but it's Good Tidings of Comfort and Joy. And along the lines of what Alan was saying, I'm trying to work on the first one. I came up with Peggy's Peaceful Playlist and Peggy's Peppy Playlist. But, you know, my Peaceful Playlist is the kind of thing that just makes me think. And so, especially in really troubled times personally or globally, you know, it's the slow movement of the Mozart Clarinet Concerto. And I have the luxury of doing this, but I hope that people who might find it a little harder can just make 5 minutes to listen to a track like that.
Peggy, thank you so much for calling. It's such a great idea. We know, and Alan, we know that so many artists are, you know, doing art classes online, playing music online, just trying to continue to connect with people. You've seen that going around online, right?
Well, it's really important because one of the great things about art and museums is that it brings community together. In World War II, the National Gallery in London had to send all of its paintings to deep storage, but it would bring out one painting a week for people to experience. And there were massive crowds, but it was a social experience as much about looking at art. And we don't have that option anymore.
Right.
So we can do it online with classes and tours, but, you know, we're struggling about how to do it well, you know, and we can't pretend it's the same thing, but, you know, we'll get there. We're trying our best.
Yeah, yeah. We've got Mary Rose from Ware on the line. Mary, are you there? Mary Ann, excuse me. Mary Rose, I'm sorry.
Mary Rose.
Mary Rose, I apologize, Mary Rose.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. I'm great. Thank you. All these joyful stories. Where are you finding the joy right now?
Well, I'm finding the joy. Every morning starting off, I work at an arts integrated private preschool in Bedford. And I'm finding joy in seeing the children's faces. I miss them tremendously. Mm. I'm finding joy in everything that my boss has made possible for just about 19 of us teachers at this arts integrated music theater school. And I'm not a computer person, and she's just been tremendous. Making me feel comfortable with the Zoom and the iPad. Yeah. Mary Rose,
I hate to cut you off, but we're coming up against the end of our show. I'm so glad.
Oh, that's okay.
No, I'm glad you're learning the tech. We're all doing it together right now. Even those of us who might think they're more tech savvy are learning a lot of things right now. And I hope you get to see your preschoolers again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Take care, Mary Rose. Alan Chong, one last question for you before we let you go. It's been delightful to have you. Thank you for the depth of your responses. What's your song? What's bringing you through right now?
Well, I mean, I'm a classical music buff, but I'll listen to everything. So my song is from Strauss's Four Last Songs. He wrote it before the last year of his life, the year before he died. And it's a song that, if you chose the right one, it's like Thoughts on Going to Sleep. And it's that mixture of bittersweetness and happiness, sadness, and joy that I find so inspiring. I've been listening to it a lot.
That's great. And that is certainly what we are all feeling right now, is that mix of finding joy where we can find it and really gritting our teeth through a lot of the tough stuff. So, Alan, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. I'm sure we'll have you back. Jason, you still there?
Heck,
you're the man.
This hour's going to get me through another week. This is great.
I'm so glad. We did it just for you. I want to thank all of our guests who called in on this debut of New Hampshire Calling. Also, thanks to Deo Moueno, Sarah Chizinski, and Alan Chong. We'll be here every evening, Mondays through Thursday, taking your calls about what you're thinking about, worrying about, where you're finding joy right now. This show was produced by Emily Quirk. Maureen McMurray is executive producer. Special thanks to Jason Moon and Corey Princell, who provided critical creative insights, and Rebecca Lavoie on Facebook Live. I'm Jack Rodolico, and remember, we are all in this together.